This is American Roots with cosmic saxophones and saxophonists like the late Sam Butera, who with fellow Sicilian New Orleanian Louis Prima would define the Vegas Rat Pack sound, founded on jump jazz, R&B, and adult entertainment. Sam grew up in the Treme neighborhood and spoke with me in 1999.
I started on Bourbon Street when I was 14, playing behind strippers.
Oh, yeah.
Those girls taught me a lot.
Yeah? What did you learn from them?
Time. Feeling. I played behind the greatest strippers this world has ever seen. I played behind the cat girl, the one that worked for Leon Prima at the 500 Club right here in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. I used to come see her in hurricanes. She was so great. Mm. I played behind June Allen. She was a tassel dancer.
What was the music like in that period? I mean, I guess we're talking the mid-40s into the 50s.
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was.
What kinds of music?
Well, yeah, it was mostly Dixieland when I first started out. But I never was a Dixieland person. I can play Dixieland because I listened to it, and I worked with Sharky Banana, like I told you.
You did mention, actually. Tell me Sharky Banana's full name. And
Sharky Banana and his bunch. Music would appeal.
Ah, yeah.
That's it.
We need marketing more like that today.
And it was at the famous door on Bourbon Street.
Yeah. So there was Dixieland, which wasn't your main thing. What would you call your main thing?
Well, when I was a kid coming up, I liked jazz. I liked bebop.
Yeah.
But I couldn't make any money playing bebop.
Right.
At that time, that's when rock and roll started, and everybody loved the tenor saxophone. So I said, I'll play it. And that's how I got to it.
Do you think there's a connection between the bebop feel and what you put into rock and roll?
Well, what I play, a lot of the licks are bebop feel. But in the vein of rock and roll. But I was a bebop. I was a jazz player.
You swing and honk harder, louder, with more drive than really anybody. I've been listening to these records.
Well, you know.
Where'd that come from?
Where'd that come from? My heart.
Yeah.
That's it.
Five months, 2 weeks, 2 days. My loving baby's been gone. 5 months, 2 weeks, 2 days. My loving baby's been gone. If you see my baby, please send her home for me. Hurry, oh, home, baby. Hurry, oh, home, baby. Hurry. Oh, oh, baby, hurry, oh, oh, baby, hurry, oh, oh, baby,
station with a pack on my back. I'm tired of transportation in the back of a hack. I love to hear the rhythm of the clickety-clack and hear the lonesome whistle, see the smoke from the stack and pal around with Democratic fellas named Mac. So take me right back to the track, Jack. Choo-choo, choo-choo, jaboogie, woo-woo, woo-woo, jaboogie, choo-choo, choo-choo, jaboogie. Take me right back to the track, Jack. Your destination, but alas and alack, you need some compensation to get back in the black. You take a morning paper from the top of the stack and read the situations from the front to the back. The only job that's open needs a man with a knack, so put it right back in the rack, Jack. Choo-choo, choo-choo, jaboogie, woo-woo, woo-woo, jaboogie, choo-choo, choo-choo, jaboogie. Take me right back to the track, Jack. Settle down by the railroad track, live the life of Riley in the beaten down shack. So when I hear a whistle, I can peep through the crack and watch the train a rolling when it's falling a jack. For I just love the rhythm of the clickety clack. So take me right back to the track, Jack. Choo choo, choo choo, jaboogie, woo woo, woo woo, jaboogie, choo choo, choo choo, jaboogie. Take me right back to the track.
This is American Roots from New Orleans. And if you like the music, tell all your friends. But if you don't like the music, don't tell nobody.
the AFO Executives, having a good time there on Old Wine and making some new music, or putting old wine in new bottles. 1961, the band led by Harold Batiste with Alvin Red Tyler on saxophone, all part of AFO Records, All for One, the historic African-American label here in New Orleans. Before that, jump jazz from Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five, Louis blowing his own horn on vocals, and alto sax, Choo Choo Chaboogie, 1946. Louis Jordan was a major influence on our guest, Charles Neville of the Neville Brothers, a saxophonist, arranger, and thinker in his own right. Charles grew up in a musical household and neighborhood in uptown New Orleans. He ran with Mardi Gras Indians, played in R&B combos, with musicians black and white alike across a divided New Orleans. He told me what made family life special.
There was no TV. And so when people came to visit, someone brought an instrument. And so whatever the gathering was, it turned into a musical kind of celebration. And you know, dancing was really a group and even a family kind of thing that could be done. I remember a dance called the Black Bottom, one called the Snake Hips. Of course, there were the Jitterbugs and the Cakewalk.
And people would play these on horns, tambourines?
Banjo, tambourine, drums, whatever, any kind of horn, whatever kind of horn the person had, and guitars, everybody had a guitar. Mm.
Let's talk about a few of the artistic and moral leaders and forces in your family. You had this man named Uncle Jolly. People refer to him as Chief Jolly, I guess because of his Mardi Gras Indian role.
You know, he was like this really kind of mysterious figure in our early days of knowing him, because he wasn't in a family like we were with, two parents and some kids. He was alone, and then there were times when we'd meet a girlfriend of his. But he was a great dancer, and he knew about the music.
Oh, yeah, two-way, pack-away, real look at the golden band.
But he was someone that we wanted to emulate because he was hip.
Hmm.
He dressed hip. He walked hip. He talked hip. He said he started masking with the migrants in the early 60s. And first he said he masked renegade, which meant that he wasn't belonging to a tribe, just made a costume and went out there.
Now, a tribe that dressed in red, white, and blue, they're supposed to have the golden band.
Thank you, man.
They're supposed to be the best. Because as the song goes, the red, white, and blue got the golden.
A lot of people refer to New Orleans as a spiritual city. They talk about Catholicism. They talk about voodoo. They talk about all manner of saints. How would you characterize the spirit world of New Orleans in your own life?
Well, for me, it was a mixture of both the Christian, the Catholic, the Protestant, and the voodoo. My grandmother told me I was born with a veil over my face, which meant that I would be able to see spirits. And for a long time I did. Then I got to meet some of the people who were named Mother This or Doctor That, and they were practitioners of the Yoruba Vodun, as well as members of those churches that were called the Holiness Churches. And the practices in those churches, though they were Christian, were pretty much like what I saw when I was in Haiti and got to go to a ceremony there.
Mm-hmm.
And, the thing that in the Haitian ceremony the people called possession, in New Orleans when I saw it in church, they said that the person was shouting mm-hmm. when they went into this altered state where they had to be helped by, there were ushers standing by with smelling salts and fans to take care of the people.
There's also the image that voodoo is somehow evil or recalling a dark side. I mean, what do you say when people sensationalize voodoo that way?
It just feeds a misconception about it because, it's based on the Yoruba religion. And, of course, everything has a yin and the yang, a light and a dark side. And, you know, there are always the stories about, well, you know, you could go to someone if you wanted to put something on somebody. Or, you know, we had certain kinds of candles. And, you know, if you needed money, you burned a green candle or a gold candle. And if you wanted to send out some kind of negative energy, you burned a black candle. And I remember being told that, well, if you take a $100 bill, write the person's name on it 9 times and tie it to the black candle with some a strand of their hair and light the candle. When the candle burned down and burned the money, that would be the offering to the spirits and they would take care of whatever it was you wanted done.
Oh, you must have put Buddha on me. Oh, you must have cast a spell.
How much of a role did your own parents play in your upbringing?
The matriarchal dynamic was what was happening in a lot of the families. You know, the way things were in the South, the kind of jobs available to black men were not as lucrative as the jobs available to the black women. So in a lot of cases, they were actually the breadwinners. And in the cases where the husband was working somewhere, he was gone all the time. So the kids were under the care of the matriarch. And, you know, my father was in and out because he and Jolly both were, what do you call them, Pullman porters. So they were going on the trains for a while, and then they were seamen, they were in and out.
They were traveling men.
Yeah, which was something that I always thought of as something that I wanted. Because they brought back these wonderful stories about the places they had been and what things they had seen that were so different from what we saw in our neighborhoods.
This Valence Street neighborhood sounds almost like a family and kids paradise.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, aside from the people in the family, there were entertainers who lived in the immediate area as well that we got to know. One of the entertaining icons of New Orleans, Patsy Valdez, lived right down the street from us.
Well, she was the lady at the Dewdrop or the kind of cross-dresser at the Dewdrop.
Yeah, and, you know, so there were lots of entertainers who visited Patsy as well.
Face the rising sun. If I find anything good, I'm going to bring my good man some. 'Cause I'm a hip-shaking mama. And I love George Brown so slow.
My mother and my uncle, who were dancers, danced with Louis Prima's band as part of his show for a while.
And every time it rains, panties from heaven.
Shoo-be-doo-be.
Don't you know each cloud contains banners from heaven?
Shoo-be-doo-be.
What is it that gets you motivated enough to become a musician?
For me, there was never any question about it that, I mean, I knew I was going to play music somehow from as early as I can remember. My grandmother sang all the time in the house with whatever kind of chore was happening. There was a song to go with it. I remember being with her sitting in the kitchen helping her shell peas, and there was a song that we sang while that was happening. You know, in the movies back then in the 40s, there were these musical shorts that were like music videos now, and Louis Jordan was one of the main artists who had, he had the most of those, it seems. And I saw him playing saxophone and singing. It looked like he was having so much fun. I decided, man, that's the instrument I want to play.
Is there one really good Louis Jordan that sticks with you all these years?
Run, Joe. Run, Joe. Eddie, my night, you do. Run, Joe. The man won't let me go.
Tell me all about it, giant.
Mo and Joe had a candy store, telling fortune behind the door. Cop grabbed Mo, and as Joe ran out, Brother Mo then began to shout,
Run, Joe!
Any man at the door,
Run, Joe!
The man won't let me go,
Run, Joe!
Run as fast as you can,
Run, Joe!
Police holding me hand.
That's Louis Jordan in comedic Caribbean style, just like In Between Acts at the movie theater,
a big part of Charles Neville's musical childhood. More coming up with Charles when American Roots returns.